The day after his inaugural address, FDR closed the nation's banks. He spoke to the country on radio in what he called a fireside chat to explain the crisis. When the banks reopened days later, the panic was over. Roosevelt's steady presence calmed the nation's nerves and opened up a new dialogue between the people and their president. The mailroom at the White House had needed only one person before. Now it needed 70. From this point on, presidents would be expected to talk directly to the people, and the people would talk back. The New Deal changed government's role, providing pensions for old people, electric power, the right to organize a union. In 1936, before 100,000 people at the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia, Roosevelt gave a memorable defense. Like Lincoln, Roosevelt claimed his seemingly radical departure was in fact true to the ideals of the nation's founders.
Philadelphia is a good city in which to write American history. This is fitting ground on which to reaffirm the faith of the fathers, to pledge ourselves to restore to the people a wider freedom, to give till 1936 as the founders gave to 1776 an American way of life. Since that struggle, man's inventive genius released new forces in our land, forces which reordered the lives of our people. The age of machinery, of railroads, of steam and electricity, the telegraph and the radio, mass production, mass distribution, all of these combined to bring forward a new civilization, and with it a problem for those who sought to remain free. For out of this modern civilization, economic royalists carved new dynasties. New kingdoms were built upon concentration of control over material things. Through new uses of corporations and banks and securities, new machinery of industry and agriculture, of labor and capital, all undreamed of by the fathers, the whole structure of modern life was impressed into this royal service. Against economic tyranny such as this, the American citizen could only appeal to the organized power of government. We well remember that the collapse of 1929 showed up the despotism for what it was. And the election of 1932 was the people's mandate to end it, and under that mandate, it is being ended. It is a sobering thing, my friends, to be a servant of this great cause. Governments can err. Presidents do make mistakes. But the immortal Dante tells us that divine justice weighs the sins of the cold-blooded and the sins of the warm-hearted in different scales. Better the occasional fault of a government that lives in a spirit of charity than the consistent omissions of a government frozen in the ice of its own indifference. There is a mysterious cycle in human events. To some generations, much is given. Of other generations, much is expected. This generation of Americans has a rendezvous with destiny.